Good morning.
Good morning.
We are still in the 25th year of ministry here at Blessed Savior. We're still celebrating. And I tell you, that has caused me to stop and pause and reflect about the mission of our congregation. Today's lesson from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth brought to mind the theme that we have for our congregation, which, as you can see on our banner, it's to love God and love your neighbor. I hope we understand that loving God is really the pursuit of displaying or manifesting God's glory. And that pursuit of displaying God to the world has an important connection that Jesus made so very clear. When you do good for other people, you manifest God to them. And when you manifest God and make him known, you do good to others. Because that's the way he wills to manifest himself. That is what he is like. The church is the place where these two things come together. If you watch the news, every so often there's a story about people trying to do something good for other folks. Maybe if you were paying attention to the news this past week, there was an interesting story, I believe it was on the Today Show, about a guy who had mistakenly received an invitation to a bachelor's party. He didn't know the guy. It was sent to the guy with the right name, but it was the wrong guy. Okay, so the guy thought, well, heck, you know, I wouldn't mind traveling to the New England area, and so he wrote back the guy and said, yeah, I'm not the guy you intended, but I'd be glad to come. And to his amazement, the guy said, yeah, come on up. They were at a ski resort in New England. Now, the problem was, he was from Arizona. So it was quite a little trip, and he didn't have the funds to do it, so he started a GoFundMe account, and it was funded rather well. I believe he went, and he promised that whatever money was, you know, not used for his travel, he would give away to charity. So people were very generous, and as I said, I'm assuming he made the trip. The world tries to do good for other people, but something often is left out. Very simply, it's God. They do something that's temporarily good, but no ultimate or eternal good. Some Christians try to experience God's manifestations alone, but do not do so in the context of the interdependent body. And so they may have some ecstatic experiences, but they don't see God as he really is, because he's the kind of God who manifests himself for the common good, not for just individualistic religious raptures. Verse 7 of our text, I want you to keep that handy. It is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian individually, as well as what it means to be a church corporately. So I'd like to take a look at verse 7 and sort of flesh it out. And it begins with the first idea of each one. The verse says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Who are these each ones? Are you included? That's exactly what verses 2 and 3 are talking about. Paul says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Who then are the each ones in verse 7? They are those who once were pagans, led away from Christ by idols. Idols that have nothing to say. Dumb idols. Idols with no message, no good news. But all that changed with the work of the Holy Spirit. The each ones of verse 7 are people who have ceased treating Jesus as a curse to be rejected and now follow him as Lord. So the essence of who the each ones are or is, the Lordship of Jesus. That's the essence. The key sentence is at the end of verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The each ones in verse 7 are people who have been baptized with water and sealed with the Holy Spirit and who are living under the Lordship of Jesus, who aim to think the way he says to think, who aim to feel the way Jesus wants us to feel, people who aim to do what Jesus would have them do. These are the people who have the manifestation of the Spirit, because they cannot live like this except by the Holy Spirit, which should be wonderful encouragement to us all. The reason I say that living under the Lordship of Jesus is the mark of each one rather than just saying Jesus is Lord is that Scripture and experience teach us that people can indeed say that Jesus is Lord without the special work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Jesus gives us clear passage on this in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then Jesus said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So you can see from the words, those words, that living the Lordship of Jesus is the issue, not just saying Jesus is Lord. And that's what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, when he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the each ones of verse 7 are baptized Christians, led by the Spirit, so that they say it and mean it and live it. Jesus is Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but it sounds a little foreign to my modern ears, because we live in a world where faith in Christ isn't taken seriously by those who profess his name. You know it, and I know it, because we've experienced it. How can we be baptized into the name of Jesus and then disregard his teachings and leadings? In our day and age, it's way too easy. And yet, my friends, I tell you that when we fall into the trap, there is help. Each one of us, when we fall short and are convicted by the Holy Spirit, can repent and seek his forgiveness and press on to trust him and obey him more and more fully. He makes this restoration possible every day by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We know that we are a work in progress, but we can progress because of Christ's redemptive work. That should inspire us. All of this comes from the Spirit of God. It cannot be experienced except by him. The Spirit's main business in the world is to glorify Jesus and make his lordship real in people's lives. Jesus said in John 16:14, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." You see, it is the Spirit that changes us from one degree of glory to another in the likeness of Jesus. Sometimes it seems so small we don't even recognize it, but it happens. And even when we are going through one of those spiritual lulls in life, the Spirit is active within us. We are the each ones. Thanks be to God. The second word or phrase that I want you to catch is simply the Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If we looked at verse 13, we could talk about being baptized in the Spirit so that he is all around us like water in baptism. Or we could talk about the drinking of the Spirit so that he is filling us and making us drunk, so to speak, with holy influences. But I want us to look briefly at the major emphasis of the passage summarized in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This verse is emphasizing two things. One, that there is one and the same Spirit behind all the varieties of gifts. One and the same Spirit works all these things. Look at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God. Verses 9 and 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healings by one Spirit. Paul clearly wants us to get the message. We are different in our gifts, our ministries, and effectiveness, no doubt. But those differences are not owing to many spirits or to bad faith, as we might think, or to poor obedience. They are owing to the one and the same Spirit. Variety is owing to the unity of God's divinity. The other thing that verse 11 emphasizes is that the Spirit is the one who decides who will have what gift and ministry and effectiveness. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit who is in us and around us is also over us. He fills us and embraces us and rules over us. The Spirit of God is sovereign. That's the point of verse 11. He does what he wills. The diversity of gifts, the diversity of ministries, the diversity of effectiveness is his doing. He is God. He is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. And their one divine will comes to expression perfectly through his. They are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they build and rule and guide the church. the Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The third word I wanted to focus on is manifestation. The reason the Spirit gives gifts and activities and effectiveness is so that He will be manifested in the church. A manifestation is a showing. When you manifest something, you bring it into the light. You put it forward for people to see. Now, verse 7 says that the gifts and activities of believers in the church are manifestations of the Spirit. They are meant to show, display the Spirit. They are meant to make the Spirit visible. They are meant to make us admire and love and submit, serve the Spirit. And because this manifestation is of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. Something miraculous is happening in this place. The work of the church is thoroughly supernatural. Yes, it is. Sometimes you wouldn't think it by the numbers of people that come on Sunday morning. Nevertheless, God is at work through His Spirit. One of the greatest curses on a church is when its business is down to a science that it manifestly runs by human effort alone. Agree? Each year, our stewardship committee describes the needs of our church in terms of time, talent, and treasure. I hope you received an envelope. If you haven't, check your mailbox in the back of the church, and you'll see the time and talents. And we ask you to fill out those forms that indicate your willingness to serve in some capacity that basically keeps the business rolling. Sometimes the responses year after year can be meager. And maybe it's because it is seen by many just as the business of the church. But it's so much more. Every activity and service you perform on behalf of the church benefits others and ultimately manifests the Holy Spirit. It is His work that is being performed, whatever the task. Big or small, no work that glorifies God is unimportant. And because it is the Holy Spirit's gift, it is thoroughly supernatural. You may not see it, but being a faithful greeter before service is incredibly important. So is teaching a Sunday school class for our kids. So is setting up communion, or writing checks for the church, or changing light bulbs, or arranging activities so that the church might have times for gathering and fellowship. It's all important. As you prayerfully consider serving God this year, know that what you are doing has an eternal bearing. It makes my heart leap when I see evidences of reliance on the Holy Spirit again and again at Blessed Savior. Oh yes, we have much to learn. But I am encouraged that the Spirit is manifesting Himself among us. Whatever you do, do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit might be seen among us more and more. Remember that. As you do your service to the Lord, you are displaying the Holy Spirit. You are making manifest the Spirit of God in our presence. The fourth word: to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You've heard me say this already so many times, it's like, why make that a point? I understand. So I just want to touch on that. The Spirit is manifest for this purpose, the common good. The Spirit does not give gifts and ministries so that we can boast about our spiritual expertise. He gives gifts and ministries for just two reasons: to manifest Himself and to help us do good to each other in the church. Gifts are for the glory of God and for the good of the church. And we need to take that home with us. And we need to bring it back when we come again. One reason for using Jesus' command, connecting love God, love your neighbor, is to allow God the opportunity to manifest Himself. But the other reason is to do good for people in need. Our theme is a reminder that while the manifestation of God's presence is of ultimate importance, God gives us the opportunity of participating in that endeavor as we love and serve one another. You know, some may not think this is a good example that I want to give you. Tomorrow, as you well know, some people are off, is a national holiday honoring the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Who would have ever thought that a Baptist preacher from Birmingham, Alabama, could awaken the conscience of our nation so that we would treat every human being with respect? One might come to the conclusion that he was working solely for his own people. He was not. Luther's nonviolent, passive approach to gain civil rights affected all people. Had he not followed the Spirit's leading, it is hard for me to imagine, having lived through those years, of how much more violent and how much more painful the 60s and 70s would have become if Martin Luther King Jr. had bowed to the pressure on his side of giving in to a violent protest. It's hard to imagine. Those years were bad enough, weren't they? When you hear the recordings of him speaking, you can hear the earnestness in his voice, pleading for a just cause that would be for the good, not just of African Americans, but for all people. Can we not agree that God was working, God the Spirit was at work in those days through this man? It kind of reminds me of Jesus, who pled with friends and enemies alike to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to all human beings. Let me leave you with this. We may not gain the notoriety of a Martin Luther King Jr. or Martin Luther or a Billy Graham or someone else who's seen in the world as being notable for their ministry. But remember this. To each one, that's you and me, each one that's here this morning to hear this message is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. My friends, words of hope are not the only gift we have to share for the common good. But maybe, just maybe, if we fill our church with words of hope from each other, all the other means of doing good to each other will increase as well. This Sunday, and maybe from here on out, our prayer should be, come Holy Spirit, let us not only talk the talk, but let us walk the walk in the Spirit of God who lives in us. For Jesus' sake and to His glory. Amen.